Welcome to the Punk Rock NBA Podcast.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty. This is the Punk Rock NBA Podcast. Today's bonus episode is the audio version of a patron-only Q&A that I posted over there a couple weeks ago. This is a new thing that I've been doing. It's kind of like my viewer comments video on my main channel, but the difference is that on Patreon, I'm able to like go deeper, give more like thoughtful, substantial answers to the questions, whereas, you know, on YouTube, I kind of optimize more for like entertainment and, you know, keeping the pace up with edits and stuff like that. But over on Patreon, I just give like my very best, most substantial answers to the questions without kind of feeling the pressure of putting on a show, I guess you would say. So I'm also looking to kind of step up the Patreon in general. So if you have any ideas on anything I can do to make it better, I would love to hear it. This is where I want to put a lot more of my effort, especially since there's some changes coming on YouTube. You may have heard about kind of this showdown between Apple and Facebook regarding privacy that's going to make it harder to run ads on Facebook. I think the same thing is going to affect YouTube as well. So there's a very good chance that my YouTube ad revenue is going to take a hit in the near future. And so with that in mind, I want to really kind of look to Patreon, like how can I make that better so that if my YouTube ad revenue does take a hit, I'll be able to offset that with more patrons. So if you have any thoughts on anything I can do better over there, please let me know. As a reminder, for anybody who is not familiar, there's a few things that patrons get. Number one, they get every podcast a week early. Number two, the Q&As like this one. I do those every month. I'll do them more often if you guys are interested. I do enjoy doing them. Number three, there's a patron-only private Discord server that I'm in all the time. It's got a couple hundred people in there now. Like, we're chatting all day about music and business and just whatever like personal stuff is going on in our life, and I've come to like really enjoy that community. So if you are a patron and you haven't joined the Discord, please do. Message me if you're not sure how, but that Discord is pretty cool. There's also a way to have me review your music or video or podcast or artwork or anything else that you would like to get my eyes or ears or whatever, get my feedback on it. You can do that as well if you're a patron at the $10 and up level. I actually just put out the call for submissions for February, so if you want to take advantage of that, there may still be time by the time you hear this. But yeah, so this is my most recent patron Q&A. I enjoyed it a lot. Hopefully you do too. And check out the Patreon if you haven't. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the February Q&A. I'm testing a new angle format here for this because it's a lot faster for me to record than with my DSLR setup. Hopefully you like my messy living room here where I do most of my work. The way this works is very simple. If you are a patron at any level, I do a call for questions every month. And if you have a question for me, just drop it in the comments and I will answer it every month in a video like this. So the first one is from Andy Kelly. I love this. I've been thinking a lot about time management since your videos about it. Given your current jobs and projects, if you had an additional 10 hours a week, what would you spend it on? And Kyle Northington has a similar question. Now Finn's just going to be thinking about how he doesn't have an extra 10 hours a week to fulfill his answer. Well, I'm going to give you two answers for this. One is for myself personally, and one is for a hypothetical person that might be in a little bit of a different place than me. For me personally, if I had an extra 10 hours a week, I would spend it with my wife because I am in a good place, you know, with all the things that I do. Like, I'm making a decent living, you know, could I make more money? Sure, absolutely. But, you know, at this point in my life, it's more important for me to spend more time with her and have a good relationship with her than it is to, you know, make another couple dollars off of something. So that's what I would focus my time on. You know, I don't know, like lots of times I work on the weekends a little bit, not a full day usually, but more than I would like to. So it would be cool to be able to actually not work at all, at least one day a week. So that's probably what I would do just to, you know, to invest that time in our relationship, which is actually the most important thing to me in the world, much more so than any kind of work-related thing. But that's me. Let's assume that this hypothetical person is in a different place where, you know, this person was maybe still trying to become established a little bit or, you know, trying to grow a little bit more than I am. And if that was the case, I would put more time into TikTok for sure, because that is clearly where you can get a lot of growth. I have like 5,000 followers on something or something on there now, which is cool. Don't get me wrong, but like that's not That's not a lot on TikTok. And I got that in a couple weeks with the help of Michael Montoya, who you may know from, he's in Winds of Plague and is a producer that works with a bunch of people like Scarlord and Juice WRLD and Bones and Zillikami and a million other rappers that you've heard of. Good friend of mine also for about 10 years. He's kind of been helping me out a little bit. Like if you see the clips from YouTube that have been going up on there, that's stuff that he's doing. And then the stuff that's talking that's original, obviously that's me. And even with that kind of, I don't know if I'd say half-assed approach, but kind of a half-assed approach. Even with that, you know, I've grown to 5,000 followers in a few weeks and gotten, I don't know, I think my biggest video in there got like 38,000 views in a couple days or something, which, you know, again, is that a ton compared to Charli D'Amelio or whatever? No, she's getting millions and millions of views and everything. But for me, a brand new account, talking about something as niche as pop punk to get 38,000 views in 2 days is pretty cool. You're not going to get that with a brand new account on Instagram or Facebook or anywhere else. So if you want to grow, I think that would be a great place to invest your energy. The one thing I will say about TikTok is that the audience is definitely, at this point, I would say, lower quality. And that's not like a judgment. That's not being the old man that's like, oh, these kids on TikTok are so stupid. They're not stupid at all. They're very smart. It's just kind of like when you go to TikTok, you are inherently looking for something that is, you know, short and bite-sized and, you know, typically funny or entertaining. Like this is not where you go for a thoughtful discussion about something. So to that, you know, there is some nuance to this of like, you know, make sure that this is the right audience for you. But I think no matter what you're doing, it's hard to look at the kind of growth you can get on TikTok right now and not jump on that. So that's what I would invest it in. And speaking of which, from Love Kills Official, looking for the best way to grow my followers and create the best brand and music components, not sure how to achieve this goal and be efficient. How much time should I spend on the content on social media? I need help. Well, you know, there's no one answer for that. It depends. Basically, you know, the answer for how much time should you spend on anything depends on the results you're getting and whether you're happy with those or not. So there are people that probably spend 5 minutes a day on TikTok and they're happy with the results they're getting. You know, should they spend more time on that? Maybe not. Like, if you're happy with it, then don't spend more time on it. Beyond that, I would say there's not necessarily a strict relationship between how much time you spend on any piece of content and the results you get from it. There are some things that, you know, you'll spend, you can think like if you're in a band, if you make videos, whatever, there's some things that you slaved over and, you know, you spent weeks and weeks or hours and hours on this thing and you love it so much and you put it out and it's kind of like, like, you know, people don't really care that much. You don't get a great reaction from it. On the other hand, there might be something you just kind of barfed out in 20 minutes and it ends up being your most popular thing. And you're like, really? You guys like that one? The one that I didn't even really give a shit about and hardly tried on? All right. You know, for me, for example, the Pantera video that I did, I don't know, several months ago, I didn't put a lot of effort into that because I know their history so well. And like, it just, you know, to be honest, I just really needed views. The channel had been in a bit of a slump for a couple months, and I said, I need to do something that's just kind of going to be almost guaranteed views. So I did that video, and it worked. And I don't think it's a great video. I don't think it's a bad video, but it's definitely not one that I'm, you know, super proud of. But it got me out of that slump. And so, you know, to the answer of how much time should I have spent on it, I think I spent the right amount of time on it. And I would look for ways to create content that are not time consuming, where you can make something like, rather than spending 10 hours making one piece of content, spend 1 hour each on 10 pieces of content. I think that's the name of the game. Is it's not throw shit at a wall and see what sticks, but kind of sort of is. Like, it's more about like, how do you create something that is good but does not require you to invest a lot of time in it? That's what I would look for.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, We go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.
But first, I want to thank DistroKid for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. If you're not familiar, DistroKid is a digital music distribution service that musicians use to put their music into online stores and streaming services. So in plain language, if you have ever wondered how to get your music on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon, Deezer, Tidal, and many, many more, there's like dozens and dozens of different streaming services, DistroKid is the way to do it. It is super easy. I have used it to put my music on Spotify. It took me maybe 5 minutes to like set it up and upload everything. It's legitimately awesome. I am sincerely a fan of this company and their product. And for those of you who have asked, you can also upload your music to TikTok with DistroKid. And if you want a chance to get featured on DistroKid's Spotify playlists, you can do that by submitting a song through Spotlight and getting your fans to vote for you. You can also use Hyperfollow to get more Spotify followers. You can promote your new release as well as Spotify Canvas. That's where there's the video in the background in the player. And when you share it on Instagram, it shares that video too to make your Spotify release pop. And Spotify Canvas is available to all DistroKid artists. Like I said, as you can probably tell from this, like I am sincerely a fan of DistroKid. DistroKid can do everything I just talked about and so much more. So be sure to sign up with my link, which is in the show notes for this episode, to get 7% off your first year. That link is in the show notes of this episode, or go to distrokid.com/VIP/thepunkrockNBA. And thanks again to DistroKid for sponsoring this episode. From Edwin Kruger, what's your favorite toaster setting? This is a great question. I am a medium light kind of guy. You know, if there's let's say there's five settings on the toaster from darkest to lightest, I would put it on like, you know, five is darkest and one is lightest. I would put it on two probably, or maybe 2.5. I'm not into like super dark burnt toast or anything like that, which is weird because I do like a lot of other burnt things, like the burnt parts of pizza crust, or if it's any kind of like baked pasta or baked anything, I tend to like the burnt edges a lot. But with toast, not so much. Medium light, that's me. And I'm glad you asked. These are the important questions that you patrons deserve answers to. From Richie H. Hi, Finn. Great to see you expanding your brand to TikTok. I've also recently started to upload highlights of my videos to TikTok and experienced great, in my opinion, organic reach. Can you tell us more about your experience so far on the platform and share any tips or strategies for more growth? Well, I've only really been active on there for like 3 weeks now, so I don't think that I have some sort of master plan for TikTok success. What I would say is that a lot of it is just putting out a lot of content, like try to post multiple times a day. That seems to be what works. I've heard that from a lot of people. I have also seen that it tends to work better if I post something at night. You know, I don't know that their algorithm is not particularly well understood. And a lot of other people say that it's very like kind of hit or miss and you really have no idea what's going to be big and what's not. So that's what I would focus on, is really just putting out a lot of shit. With any kind of content, always ask yourself, what's in it for the person consuming this? How will this make their life better in some way? And generally speaking, that is either through entertainment or information. You're either going to make them laugh or, you know, whatever, entertain them in some way. TikTok, I would say humor is probably the biggest thing on TikTok, or just being hot. I'm not hot. I'm kind of funny, but I can't be hot. But TikTok humor is a big one. Or information of some kind. You know, there's a lot of how-to stuff. Anything from cooking to crocheting to, you know, I don't know. I've seen people like mowing the lawn. Like that stuff is huge. Or like there's a Dr. Pimple Popper is on there and she does really well. So I think that's another kind of thing, is like just giving people a view into maybe a world that they haven't seen before, even if it's very mundane. Like let's say you're a lathe operator at a mill. There are people who are getting millions of views just off of TikToks of, you know, them running a lathe and like seeing the wood or metal fly off. Be careful. Don't run the lathe with one hand and then get your hair caught in it and get scalped or anything. So be safe. But that's what I would ask yourself, is just like, how is this adding value to their life? If you're viewing this through a selfish lens of like, how will this promote my shit? Then I think that content is probably not going to do well, because, you know, nobody wants to promote your shit. They want to be entertained. So you have to find a way to entertain or inform them and promote your shit. That's the trick. Other than that, you know, hashtags, trending songs, if you want to, there, you know, all those challenges. I don't do the challenges just because I don't think that's right for me necessarily at this point, but you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should be doing the challenges. That is definitely a good way to, you know, kind of ride the wave of something that's trending. So maybe consider that. From Vincent, Finn, what are you most looking to post-pandemic, musical or otherwise? What are you least looking forward to? Well, I'll answer that in reverse order. What I'm least looking forward to is traffic. I live in Seattle and traffic here sucks badly. It's in like the top 10, you know, worst traffic cities in the nation. And every time I mention that, someone's like, oh, well, I live in Boston. The traffic here is so bad it takes 10 weeks to go 1 mile. I'm like, okay, you win the contest, I guess. If we're gatekeeping traffic, you can win. But traffic here is bad. That's all I care about. It takes, you know, an hour to go. In rush hour traffic here, it takes an hour to go a few miles, basically, which is bad enough for me. Now, I work from home, so I don't typically have to be in that traffic very often, which is cool. But, you know, if I want to go somewhere at like 5 p.m. or something like that, it's basically just not an option. I would say I'm just going to stay home and wait until 6:30 or something till traffic dies down, because it's just not worth leaving the house at 5 and dealing with that traffic, or in the morning, you know, same thing. But, you know, that's a minor inconvenience. I'm really, it's fine. I'm not complaining too much about that. Aside from the fact that I just spent a couple minutes complaining about it. What I'm looking forward to most post-pandemic is being able to do stuff with my wife, you know, go out to dinner. We can go on hikes and stuff now, but some of them are closed down. It's a little weird. And, you know, just being able to go out and do stuff with her is what I'm looking forward to more than anything else. You know, get together with the family, you know, her parents. My parents are dead, but her parents are older, you know, they're like in their 70s, and her dad smoked for a long time. So, you know, respiratory illnesses are, you know, he's vulnerable to those. We've been kind of trying to avoid them. We've seen them a little bit, which I feel kind of weird about, but it's their choice. You know, if they say they're comfortable with it, then, you know, I guess we'll trust them on that. But seeing the family more is definitely something that I'm looking forward to, being able to just get out there and do stuff. But, you know, I try to just be grateful for the fact that, you know, we have jobs and everything's cool. And if the biggest complaint we have is, you know, that we can't go out to dinner as often as we would like to, you know, that's fine. Other people are going through way worse shit, whether that means that they lost their job or they got sick or their job got way shittier because of COVID. You know, so those people are going through real stuff, or God forbid somebody lost a family member. So for people who are going through real shit, you know, I'm sympathetic to them, and I don't feel, you know, there is no reason for us to feel sorry for ourselves. So I don't. Musically, I don't really enjoy actually going to see bands. It's just not fun for me. I don't like standing there watching people play music with a few rare exceptions. You know, we saw Amir in 2019 or whatever, and that was awesome. But for the most part, I just don't really like watching bands that much. I do like seeing my friends when they come through town, though. So that'll be cool. Once touring starts happening again and I can go, you know, usually what I'll do is go have, you know, a late lunch or an early dinner with, you know, my friend, before they have to go back and, you know, get to the venue or whatever. I'll go have, you know, eat with them and then go to the venue with them, hang out for a little bit, and then, you know, leave before everybody plays. And, you know, they don't care. They don't need me. I'm just one person. They don't need me standing out there clapping for them, and they got hundreds of other people to do it. So the music stuff is not that big of a deal to me. But I am going to try to do more like in-person interviews for that. That'll make the podcast, you know, easier in some ways. And lastly, from On One, hey Finn, has the pop punk band Beach Bunny caught your ear yet? If so, what are your thoughts? No, they haven't. But that's a cool name, so I'll check them out. And that does it for this edition of the Patreon Q&A. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much to everybody. I've been going through some difficult stuff lately, physical and health-wise and stuff, which has been physically and mentally tough. And I just wanted to say I really appreciate everybody's support. It genuinely means a lot to me that I know that there's, you know, hundreds of people on Patreon and other places, you know, that, I don't know, I guess I would say care about me, or at least care about the shit that I make. And that really helps a lot. I makes me think, you know, of the people who are going through similar stuff or worse to what I am, but going through it on their own, or maybe they have just a small social circle of people who aren't great, or just, I don't know, like my mom's, I'm rambling here, but you're my patron, so I'm allowed to ramble to you, I guess. Reminded me of my mom's best friend when I was a kid, who was just chronically ill in lots of different ways. I'm not actually sure what was wrong with her because I was too young to understand, but she had a lot of shit wrong with her. And she was also, you know, had a lot of mental health issues because of childhood trauma. Like, she just had a really tough life, and she didn't really have any friends other than my mom and my mom. And she lived in Portland, so we didn't see her that often. And she was a really wonderful person who I liked a lot. And she was going through all this shit, not exactly alone, but close to it. And I can just, it's sad. I wish I understood when I was younger what she was going through, because I would have, you know, made a more of an effort to reach out to her or something like that. I can't imagine how hard it would be to go through all that shit on your own. So thank you. I guess the point is, thank you to everybody who supports. It really means a lot to me. And yeah, hopefully you enjoyed this one, and I will see you next month. All right, my friends, that does it for this episode of the podcast. If you made it this far, thank you. Thank you for listening. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to help the show, there's a couple things that you can do. First of all, share it on social media. If you share it, tag us, tag Finn McKenty, that's me, and tag Deanna Chapman, that's a producer. Second thing you can do, if you really, really, really love us and really want to support us, you can support us on Patreon. There's a link to that in the show notes. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you're listening to this, or you can do none of that. And you can just sit at home thinking about how awesome this podcast is. That works too. Again, thank you very much to each and every one of you for listening. We sincerely appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
Bowie, Dylan, Marley. You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone Magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Chris Swinney, formerly of the Ataris and currently host of That One Time on Tour, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Have you ever wondered what it's really like on the road? The highs can be euphoric, but the lows can be crushing. Join me every week as I chat with industry pros about what it's like living out their wildest dream and, in some cases, their worst nightmare. Past guests of the show include members of NoFX, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and more. Listen and subscribe at SoundTalentMedia.com.